Okay, we want to continue our teaching on the man and woman. We were talking about how the woman wasn't created to be a slave, but she was created to be a working partner, and how the honey-do list aren't supposed to get too long and all that. Just a little side joke there. But the fact is that we shouldn't be taking advantage of one another. We should be assisting one another, and whatever that common cause is. And that doesn't mean 50-50, okay? When I do premarital counsel, I tell people that if you're going in on a 50-50 relationship, it's not going to work. Well, some days, you're going to pull 100%. Other days, it may be pulling 100% or whatever. But you have to learn to work together. And you can't go in with a half full glass and expect him to fill you up. You know, well, I'm not satisfied, so I'm going to marry this person and he or she is going to fill me up. No, they're not. And you're doing them an injustice if you're not satisfied on the inside. Then what you're going to do is constantly be drawing. And you should enter in a relationship to give rather than to take. Now think about that. If it's a marital relationship, you're marrying that person to assist them rather than to see what they can do for you. If you're going into a business relationship, then it should be the same thing. You're going to give your abilities and gifts here. They have the same mindset. That's when the thing works. And the same thing in a church. When you have a taken mentality, that reservoir will drain in a hurry. And when the reservoir gets dry, you know, it's I put up with all I'm going to put up with. And then you draw the line and then you have major problems, whether it's in a marriage, whether it's in a church relationship or a work relationship, whatever. As working partners, we need to view one another's abilities and assets and utilize them, but don't put a demand. In other words, let them enjoy using it rather than it to be a laborious task. There's things that I like to do. But if you're pressuring me to do it, then it loses its pleasure. Now, instead of being something enjoyable to do, now it becomes a burden. You know what I'm talking about? Especially if you're trying to meet deadlines. I'm not saying you never have a deadline. Don't misunderstand me. But I'm saying a lot of times we put undue pressure and we get adverse effects out of that. And the thing we should be doing in our relationships is to work in harmony, to have a good atmosphere. You want to enjoy the atmosphere you work in. I hate to walk in a place and it feels like it's a thick, you can cut it with a knife, you know, just the tension. You don't want to say or do anything wrong. I've been in places that look like everybody's mad at everybody. No, that's not a way to work. And you go in homes the same way. You know, you go into houses and it's obvious the people don't live there, because everything's perfect. No, I'm not talking about living in a mess. But someone was just telling me, you know, I can't go in my house without taking my shoes off. Hello. If I have mud on them, that's one thing. But there's wisdom in all this. Now, instead of you using something as a tool, it becomes a god. You're serving it. It's mastering you. It's controlling you. Ministries like that. It can be something of pleasure, or it can be something that's controlling you. And if it's causing you to be irritable and treat people badly in an ungodly way, then there's something wrong with the ministry. And these things have to be evaluated. And while I'm in this area, you know, one thing that leaders need to realize is the reason they're in that position is to help people. And I'm talking about the pastor, the overseer, bishop, whatever you want to call them. They're in the position to help people. But how we have got this so distorted in today's arena, the religious arena, that they think the people are there to serve them. And they don't work for you. And you don't work for them. We all should be working for the Lord Jesus Christ, who's the head of the church. Consequently, if we're all working for Him, then we should be working together, regardless of the position. You understand? You do what you're supposed to do in this position. They do what they're supposed to do in this position, and things run smoothly. But it goes back to that control. And there's no room for it. Not in the life of the believer. It just creates too many problems. You know, we're talking about, as we closed, about Amos 3:3, how if two are going to walk together, they have to be in agreement. Otherwise, they can't get to the destination. One of them is not going to get to his destination, or they're going to split off if they get to their destinations. In order to be in agreement, to remain in agreement, obviously our goals, our objectives, our purposes, all these have to be similar. We have to be going in the same direction, or we can't stay together. And agreeing also involves conforming. If opinions are different, then someone has to conform. Now here's the thing. We should all be conforming to the image of Jesus. And if we have a heart to the Lord, if we're truly seeking the mind of Christ, what God wants rather than what we want, then there may be times that we concede some things because it wasn't what God wanted in the first place. Think of how many things have taken place in church and ministry that God didn't want in the first place. But yet it created a lot of problems. What if we would have yielded to the Spirit? We could have avoided that. It's the same way in the home. We could avoid a lot of things if we'd yield to the Spirit. You know, as individuals, obviously we think differently. Every one of us in here thinks differently. That doesn't mean that one's right and one's wrong. It means we're different. We process differently. We don't go about projects the same way. I remember when, you know, working as a mechanic, one of the hardest things that I did was transition out of the hands-on into the management side. It was hard for me to take the hands off when I went into management because you have the way you go about something. And so you're watching someone else do it, and they're not doing it like you do it. And I learned that I needed to walk away and not watch. And I'll tell you what I found out in all this, that things can be done more than one way. You understand? Now, I'm not talking about sacrificing quality. I'm just talking about our approach being differently. But now make sure that you have the right attitude and that you're doing the right thing. Because we want to do what we do with excellence. But if no one's willing to adapt, conform, then ultimately what's going to happen is that we're going to not only not agree, but it'll probably lead to something more serious than not agreeing. a lot of your disagreements end up in arguments and ill feelings and tempers flaring and this type thing. And we don't need that. We need to learn to do things the Lord's way. Give and take. If there's not any give and take in a relationship, I promise you dissension's inevitable. Now, you have to understand how I say this, but in counseling with people, they talk about this, this, this. I tell them, I say, pick your fights. What matters, what really matters when it comes down to the principles of God, stand your ground. But if it's where you're going to eat, big deal. No use in getting a big argument over that. These little things that don't matter, that doesn't have eternal value. You understand? Learn to yield. It's all right to say, you know, whatever you want. It's fine with me. And then when they do what they want, don't pitch a fit about it. And have a bad attitude. Now, boy, the Lord worked on me with that. He has. Over the time, He's worked on me with that. Because I would be asked, you know, what do you want to do? I said, whatever. You know, that's fine with me. And then we'd go to a place that I wouldn't choose. And I know the Lord's working on me with that, on my attitude. Now, what I have to do is make an adjustment. I said it didn't matter. So what's the problem? If there's a problem, it's me now. So I better make an adjustment in here and conform to some things, right? If it matters, say so. I've seen this happen time and again in church where there's discussions that goes on in a meeting and people say, you know, well, whatever y'all want to do, that's fine with me. And then later on, you hear all this disgruntledness and complaining and all that. The truth is, it wasn't fine. And you know, a lot of the things that we do in church setting, it doesn't really have a lot to do with God. It's just how we go about administrating things, our desire here, our desire there, you know. So it's all right to say, well, you know, I don't know that that's in the best interest. Keep your attitude right when you're discussing things, but don't be a yes man. You know, I expect people to protect me. That's really what a board of directors is for. And if I'm stepping out of line, if they're my friend, I think they'd let me know that. If they're not my friend, they'll hang me out to dry and I can end up in jail. It's happened. Focus on the project. What are we doing? What does God want? What it should always be, what does God want? And then when we're working together, let's do that. And even if it's in individual things, if you're doing natural things with one another, project, focus on the project more than the opinions. Like I was talking about a while ago in like moving stuff. You have differences of opinions. Well, let's not count down on the opinions. But let's focus on the project. Let's get this done. I get tired of hearing people talk. You can talk and talk and talk. Why should it take you years to make a decision? I've never understood how the judicial system operates today. while you bring a verdict today of guilty, and why it takes weeks and months to get a summons. All this talk, all this negotiating, weigh the facts, get the facts, get the truth, and when you get the truth, why hesitate? Move then. Once the thing's settled, go into action. It's not talking and talking and talking. All that does is it ultimately genders strife. You have a problem in the home? State it, then shut up. Is that clear enough? You're dealing with children? Then state the problem, and then don't harp on it. Just on and on and on. And forget it. And that's the way God does us. You know, the ability to forgive and forget is precious. I've heard people say, I'll forgive you, but I'm not going to forget it. Well, you haven't forgiven me. If you'll forgive me and you won't forget it, you haven't forgiven me. You have to be willing. At least start somewhere. And you see this in relationships, especially with husbands and wives. You know, they'll break up something that happened years ago. Something happened today. Well, I remember you always, that word always, you always do this, you always do that. Well, that's probably not true. Maybe it's their tendency, but they probably got it right once or twice, you know. I'm trying to cushion this a little bit. The truth is, we have a lot of growth to do in our relationships. And I'm convinced that growth is contingent upon our intimacy with the Lord. Now, the more intimate we come with Him, the more we learn His ways. And you see how He acts in this situation, in that situation. And I find that He never had to have the last word. He wasn't argumentative. He stated the facts. And He let the chips fall where they may. And at a very crucial time in his life, he didn't even vindicate himself. Lied about, accused, what did he do? Nothing. Just solid. Let it play out. I've had the Lord tell me before, keep your mouth shut. Don't say anything. Vengeance isn't mine. Well, that's hard. We think it is. Yeah, but they're lying. Not too long ago, I was talking with somebody. They were telling me about something, and I said, well, just don't say anything. Yeah, but they're lying. I said, don't say anything. Yeah, but you need to say it strong. I said, no, that's pride. Right? We might as well call it what it is and be honest. And the more we develop in this, the less power those things have over our lives. And the truth of the matter is, if you obey God, people will talk about you. And it may be among your own kindred. It may be your mother and your brothers that are saying you're crazy. Right? How'd I get on that? Anyway, focus on the project, not on opinions. You know, when Paul and Barnabas failed to agree, they separated from one another, disbanded what God had put together. You think about this. When I was putting this together, I was really, really thinking in this area of the union that God had. Powerful, powerful ministry here. Barnabas, a personality, son of encouragement. And how he sent up to Antioch by the church, you know, at Jerusalem. And when he gets up there, he's met Paul. He knows what type of person Paul is. He's a strong personality. What does he do? He looks him up, brings him back to Antioch. And they're working together. And then the Spirit of God just speaks and says, separate, set apart, turn them loose, Barnabas and Saul, for the work that I've called them to do. Man, they're going on. They're doing powerful things. And then John Mark comes on to sing. And they go on a journey. Now, Paul, pretty strong personality. And John Mark left them in the middle of the journey. Paul didn't appreciate that. So later on, when they want to go on the journey again, Barnabas says, let's take John Mark. You know what Barnabas is trying to do? Barnabas is patient with him, working with him to make him a worthy minister. Paul said, no, not going with us. He didn't stay with us the first time. I'm not taking him with us this time. And it says that the contention became so strong. Barnabas' opinion, Paul's opinion. This is what I want. This is what I want. Neither one forgive. Now, who put that ministry together? God. But isn't it interesting how self can get in the way and separate something God ordained? And so Barnabas left, took Mark with him. Paul took Silas with him. I always remember this. My daddy used to tell me, don't cut your nose off to spite your face. Well, God doesn't do that. Although he didn't approve of the dissension and the arguments, God didn't just back off and not use them. He used both of them, all four of them, I should say. And then later on in Paul's life, you see that he's accepting John Mark now. Now, here's where you have to realize your personalities and your ministries and your giftings. Barnabas had the patience to work with somebody and overlook flaws and errors. Paul wanted him to be like he was, to be able, here's a young man just entering in, and Paul wants him to be seasoned. And we have to take these things in consideration when we're working with people. Don't expect people that's new to the ministry to be where you are if you've been in the ministry for 20 years. Take yourself back 20 years. Take yourself back to their time. Think about who gave you a chance and who didn't give you a chance. And we have to learn to work with people. And here's what you're going to find. I don't care how long they've been in the ministry or been saved or whatever. You're going to find that nobody's perfect. That anybody's subject to make a mistake or anybody's subject to do something that you don't necessarily appreciate. Well, are you mature enough to work with that? See, this is why a lot of marriages split up, because there's not enough maturity there to work through problems. They want to run from it rather than to work through it. What do we call it? Irreconcilable differences. What's irreconcilable? Somebody's not giving. Or probably both sides. Neither one is willing to yield. I've been in some interesting conversations. And I'm thinking, you know, God himself can't solve this problem, because neither one's willing. And this is what we have to understand in our relationships. Women think differently than men. You ever notice that? Generally speaking, women are more emotional than men. Well, that's not a weakness. And if you're, you know, Mr. Macho, and you don't show emotion, and somebody is showing emotion, you can just write that off as a weakness. Suck it up. Get over it. Well, that's not going to heal the injury. You understand? So we have to learn people and learn how to deal with people, male, female, or any kind of relations that people have different personalities. We have to learn how to work with that personality. And listen, if we can't work with all different types of personalities, then maybe we need to examine our own self and work on some weaknesses in ourselves. Because we're called to work together, and the truth of the matter is, we're all different. Men and women are called, God ordained it, to work together to produce, and men and women are different. But you have to learn compatibility, the give, the take, learn the roles by the Scripture. You know, there's a study we do on husband and wives where we take the Scriptures. This is what the Scriptures teach as the husband's role. This is what the Scriptures teach as the wife's role. And if you get those confused, you've got problems. Now, here's the position. Fulfill your role and don't concern yourself with the other person's. But now here's what I hear. Woman, the Bible says, well, you just started a war. The bottom line is you're in violation with that approach. Think about it. Well, I'm the ruler of this house. Well, that doesn't make for a happy environment, does it? Those things don't need to be said. If you are, then rule like you're supposed to rule. Don't boss, don't lord. Preside. You understand that ruling over is simply presiding over the house. You know what that means? That you take the responsibility. You take the responsibility. It's amazing when you break this down and look at it the way God looks at it, because both men and women have to make adjustments, because we find that we're all in violation when we do it the way the world tells you to do it. Reading too many books, listening to too many psychologists, that'll get you in trouble. They're telling you the ways of the world, not the ways of God. And you know, arguments always divide. Agreement unifies. Have you ever read the scripture, agree with your adversary on the way to court? That's my paraphrase. Why would I agree with my adversary on the way to court? Well, what he's telling you is it's your advantage to get this thing worked out before you get there. You understand? You guys come to an agreement. Well, it's the same way in the home. Come to an agreement. Work the thing out. It's the same way in the church. Work it out. The Scriptures teach as much as is possible, live peaceably with everyone, as much as possible. Now, what that's telling me is that responsibility is all on me. It's not contingent upon what the other person's doing. Okay? It's a contingent of never losing my peace. Okay? Maintaining my peace in the midst of whatever's going on. Most of the time, it'll calm the storm. Now, there's occasions to where there's some that there's no peace there. Okay? But many of the things could be worked out if we'd work on us instead of trying to work on them. And this is one of the biggest things I've said in relationships. We have a tendency to work on the other one. You can't fix the other one. I may just settle that right now. You can't fix that other person. You have to work on you. And if there's things you don't like about, talk to the Father. I have been talking to the Father, and He's telling me I'm the problem. Now, you don't want to admit that. But how many of you know that God doesn't lie? And He certainly doesn't make a mistake. If He says you're the problem, then go and get the problem resolved. Work on you, not on them, right? Arguments divide. Agreement unifies. Wisdom and understanding is vital to agreement. I've learned this, that if I understand where the person's coming from, most of the time I don't really have a major problem with what they're doing. I see why they're doing what they do. But if I don't understand where they're coming from, I can have a real problem. I can think, well, they're just doing this to agitate me. They know I don't like that. And they're just doing that to see what they do. When in reality, when you get behind the scenes of the thing, they don't have a clue. You flattered yourself thinking they were thinking about you. Stubbornness and resentment are detrimental to agreement. Strong will is good when it's harnessed. When it's not harnessed, it does a lot of damage. God created strong-willed personalities. But He didn't create them to destroy. He didn't create them for the purpose of damage. He expects that strong will to be harnessed. I think about James and John, you know, when the Samaritans didn't want Jesus to come through. Hey, you want us to call fire down from heaven? We get rid of them. Yeah. They said, you don't know what spirit you're of. And see, a lot of times we need to analyze ourselves and see what spirit's motivating us. You know, we're under influence. Is this godly influence? Or is this satanic influence? I'm not talking about Christians being possessed. I'm talking about where they're being influenced by the devil. He's the accuser of the brethren, right? Isn't it interesting that most accusations of Christians come through the brethren? So who's the influence? Same way at home. Too much accusing. We need to learn to excuse more than accuse, right? And it just appears to me there's more argument than agreement between men and women, especially in marriage. Who wins in an argument? I mean, it always forces disagreement, right? And what happens? Harmony's lost. You're not walking in agreement. Affects the atmosphere. And the bottom line is when there are people around you, it has a ripple effect. Have you ever walked in a place, knocked on a door, and they come to the door, and you walk in, and something's tense here? Isn't it amazing how it's the atmosphere, it actually permeates the atmosphere. In order to walk in agreement, we're going to have to go in the same direction. We're going to have to share the same interest. I think that's why, I've never felt like I've done enough premarital counseling. I don't know enough questions to ask. Because inevitably something comes up later on, and I thought, well, I'd have thought about this, I could have said this or said that, you know, to avoid this. But one of the things that I do is I find out what their interests are, their vocation. And then I look at the mate and say, are you all right with this vocation? I mean, is this agreeable to you, or is this going to be a problem later on? Now, especially, you look at this especially with ministry. Ministry can be very demanding. You can get called anytime, day or night, and you can, have something planned and something comes up and then you have to change your plans. That's called an emergency. People don't plan emergencies. So you have to work around these things. So I asked the person, are you okay with this? If the person travels, are you all right with them being gone, you know, 3 or 4 nights a week? I mean, is that going to be a problem for you? See, a lot of times they don't think about this, or in the back of their mind they think, I'll get him to change jobs. It's not going to work. My time's up. So I'm going to have to pick back up with that.